New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Kyle Shanahan just had a conference call with the local press and revealed that Deebo Samuel is the latest 49ers player to strain his calf. And he's going to miss 2 weeks, according to Kyle Shanahan, who is the most honest head coach in the NFL. We will discuss that and more next on Conan Hensley. What's up? Welcome to Conan Hensley. I'm Grant Cohn. That's Ryan G. Hensley. We usually go live earlier in the day, but I'm stranded. Not stranded. I'm chilling. In Minneapolis, I'm actually currently in the Target Center where that Minneapolis Timberwolves play, and a security guard just came over and asked me who I work for, and I confidently said Sports Illustrated, and he said, oh, well, in that case, carry on. So thank you very much, Timberwolves. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you? You enjoying it out there or what?
I thoroughly enjoy Minneapolis. My only complaint is that it was too warm, too humid, and I'm not surprised that George Kittle left the game with cramps, but we need to talk about Deebo Samuel. This is big news. Deebo Samuel, calf strain, 2 weeks. And unfortunately, the last time the Niners said a player had a calf strain, it was more than a calf strain, and it was more than 2 weeks. So right now, they're probably telling the truth, but I can't take it for granted. I remember the Christian McCaffrey story, and it's really an Achilles strain with him. So this happened on 1st and 10 from the 13. Was it the third to the final last play of the game? What do you think of this news? How are the Niners going to handle having no Christian, no Deebo?
Well, it's not good, Grant. I'll start with that. I know that's some deep analysis. It's not good. That's my analysis.
I concur.
Ian Rappaport actually said a few weeks, for what it's worth. And the scary part about this is what happened with Christian McCaffrey. Week 17 last year, calf strain, which turned into the whole entire offseason, which turned into training camp, which turned into he could play in a preseason game if we wanted to. If it was a regular season game, he would play. Now, then it was, if it's a playoff game, he would play. And now he's on IR. So it's concerning, man. Whenever you hear calf strain, you automatically go to Achilles. And you were saying that. No one else, everyone else is kind of scared to say it. You said it, and you were right about it.
They're connected.
They are. It's, you know, like that song?
Yeah. The Achilles bone is connected to the calf bone. That's science.
Yeah. It is. Biology, to be exact.
It's biology, for sure. Here's my issue with this. It's like this happened at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and watch the play. 1st and 10 from the 13. There's a bunch formation to the right. It's Kittle and Jennings blocking for Deebo on a slant. And then you have Ayuk at the top of the screen. Maybe I'm wrong. I think I'm right. Ayuk one-on-one at the top of the screen. Like, from the 13-yard line, you think Debo has a better chance to get in the end zone breaking tackles than Ayuk does winning one-on-one? Like, why did you pay Ayuk if that's what you do in that situation? Like, that's asking Debo to break tackles and do a lot of physical stuff where Ayuk just has to beat one guy in a route.
He's probably your fourth best option in that situation, right? Ayuk, Kittle, Juwan Jennings, probably a better option in that situation. So that's unfortunate. But Luzi, it feels like to me that these kind of injuries are really like an accumulation, right, of usage. It feels like. Yeah. I'm not a doctor, for those who don't know. But that's what it feels like to me. That's what it seems like, right? Christian McCaffrey took so many snaps last year, and it kind of boiled over. Debo, the first week or two. Also, I got to give a shout out to the coach who pointed out like the overtraining of Debo Samuel to get into the shape he was in could possibly be a bad thing for him, which, you know, when he said it, I'm like, what? But I mean, he could have been right on that too. So a lot of focusing in on Debo in these games, maybe possibly too much training in the offseason for Debo, or maybe just a freak accident on that one play. It's hard to tell, but it's not good for the 49ers, man. Without CMC, CMC, Debo, kind of interchangeable with what they do. CMC's a better runner, but they're kind of used similarly. Losing both changes this offense quite a bit.
You make a great point. Like, my first instinct was, well, I didn't like the play call, and they forced it to Debo, but it's so much bigger than one play. This is the accumulation of usage. And if this calf strain didn't happen on that play, odds are it was going to happen down the line. And that's football. Like, I don't think people realize, you think of Debo and McCaffrey in particular as being like right in the middle of their prime. They're 28. And they're versatile, but what both of them do is run the ball from different places, but they break tackles, get a lot of punishment. They're not one-on-one on the outside so much. So 28 for them might be 30 for someone else. So that's a little disconcerting to think that two of the most important players. Here. This is why the 49ers paid Brandon Ayuk, right? They understood, look, Debo's great, Christian's great, but what's the longevity there? Kittle's 30, about to be 31. So you got to have a future here. Now is the time for Brandon Ayuk to pick up the slack. He doesn't want to be the fourth option to run first offense. Boom, you're the number one option to pass first offense. Let's see what you can do.
Right, and 5 targets, 4 catches for Brandon Ayuk. So, he kind of made the most of his targets. A little bit different with the body language for Brandon Ayuk. I don't know. It's just he doesn't seem like he has that confidence right now that you're used to seeing from Brandon Ayuk when he's on the field, that dominance. And I don't know if it's just because he's out of football shape. But I do expect Brandon Ayuk to make a comeback at some point and get back to where he was last year. I don't know how long it's going to take him to ramp up, but it needs to happen quickly with the absence of Debo. But this also creates opportunities for Jacob Cowing. Chris Conley has an opportunity to step in here. So we'll see, if the 49ers made the right decision paying these dudes or if some of these younger rookies can step up and take their place. And Cowing has a possibility of doing so. Ricky Pearsall might be back in week 5. So we might see him step in. And I think this season is really going to be about that. We're going to see, like, did it make sense to pay all these dudes versus just go younger and cheaper and insert those guys? It's supposed to be plug-and-play offense, right? That's what everyone says. So
let's not forget that I think a day or two before the season started, the Niners renegotiated Debo Samuel's contract and turned his base salary into signing bonus, which means that a few weeks ago, Denise York wrote him a check for like $16 million. That's how signing bonuses work. And she did that with Christian, and she did that with Brandon, and she did that with Trent. Those were 3 big signing bonuses that she paid recently. And so far, the return on the investment, not good. Brandon Ayuk doing nothing. Debo Samuel hurt. Christian McCaffrey hurt. I asked Kyle on the conference call today, was the time off that Trent did the time off Trent Williams take affect his performance against the Vikings? He goes, well, I don't really know how to answer that. He was decent in the game, but I don't know if that has anything to do with the time off he took. Like, so you're telling me the highest paid left tackle in football was decent, and you don't know if that has anything to do with the time off? It better have something to do with the time off he took. Otherwise, you got a big freaking problem. So, I heard that the upper ups are upset. I'd be upset, man. What is going on with this team? It's old, it's expensive, and it's falling apart.
Four pressures allowed by Trent Williams. One sack allowed, which is second only to Colton McKivitt for the 49ers offensive line as far as how many pressures were allowed. Very unusual game for Trent Williams. A lot of stunts. So for me, it's hard to judge necessarily, but there was definitely one play where Trent just got beat one-on-one and gave. That's the one where he gave up the sack. I don't know, man. It's not – I'm not thrilled about the way this season is shaping up with all these injuries, the way that the defenses are coming at Kyle Shanahan. Brian Flores has Kyle Shanahan's number. I think it's pretty obvious at this point. Two games last year, this year, 17 points allowed. People are kind of – there's a group of defensive coordinators throughout the league that are figuring out Kyle Shanahan. So here's the thing. I always try to look on the bright side. Maybe the loss of Deebo Samuel, who Kyle Shanahan constantly uses as a crutch, can actually translate to being a good thing for the 49ers, because he's not going to have CMC. He's not going to have Deebo. He's going to have to learn to spread the ball around and use different pieces.
Let me ask you this. What does the Niners offense look like without Deebo and Christian? Those two are, you know, all pro weapons. One was offensive player of the year. The other one could have been. They're both out at the same time. They still have Kittle, Ayuk, Juszczyk, Jennings, Mason. That's a lot more talent than a lot of teams have. What is this? What can Kyle Shanahan and Clay Kubiak and the brain trust on this team do without those two key players?
Well, the good news for the 49ers is they play the Rams this weekend, who cannot stop the run to save their life. So what you do is you...
Plus Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua are hurt.
Yeah, Cooper just got...
That's inside of the ball.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole Rams... I mean, their offensive line is banged up. They're beat up. They're a hospital. The LA Rams is currently a hospital. All they have to do is run the ball with Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason has shown that he's one of the best players in this offense this year and really reliable. Just run the ball with Jordan Mason. That's the plan. The problem, though, is, like I said, Garindo didn't – he only had one play, but he read that hole completely wrong. So I don't know what they're going to do behind Jordan Mason. And Kyle Shanahan likes to lean on Deebo in running situations, although it was dialed back against the Vikings. But who's going to spell Jordan Mason, give Jordan Mason a breather? They got to figure that part out, because Isaac Garindo, it was only one play, but he completely read it wrong. So what are they going to do to spell Jordan Mason and give him a breather? Because they can't just the entire game. He's got to come out sometime. So that's
I'm with that question. I'm with that. I mean, I think they're using Jordan Mason as much as they possibly can right now. The running game is great. The issue is more of the passing game, especially third down. And it's like, I don't know that Jordan Mason can do much. You can check down to him, but he's not Christian McCaffrey. Last year, the Niners' third down conversion rate on offense was 47.5. It was fourth best in the league. This year, it's 30. Hold on. This year, it is 34.8%, which is 19th best in the league. Is that all because Christian McCaffrey isn't out there? And if Deebo isn't out there, like, how are they going to move the chains?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like Kittle and Jennings are having good years. Is this going to finally force Kyle Shanahan to feature those two?
That's the thing. It could be a really good thing, honestly, for the 49ers. Could wake Kyle Shanahan up and make him realize that...
He's been too obsessed with Deebo anyway.
That's my thing. He's too obsessed with Deebo anyways, in my opinion. And he leans on Christian McCaffrey too much while he's there. So having these guys out makes him, forces him. You got to use George Kittle, who's one of the best, if not the best, tight ends in the NFL. You should be using him far more than you are. You got Brandon Ayuk, who has better hands than Deebo, gets open more than Deebo, even right now, as rusty as Brandon Ayuk is, at the separation, Brandon Ayuk was better than Deebo. Deebo had the worst separation in that game yesterday. He had a great game. When he gets the ball in his hands, he's really good. It's getting the ball into his hands, which is a challenge, and why Brock Purdy had to throw so many tight, contested throws.
Yeah, and like, maybe if Deebo hadn't been on the field last game, if he had taken himself out, maybe Kyle Shanahan actually takes a shot into the end zone to Brandon Ayuk. I asked Kyle on the conference call, post it later. Hey man, when you went back and watched the film, how'd you feel you handled the clock management on the final drive? And would you, in retrospect, would you have liked to take a shot into the end zone? And he hates when anyone, especially me, asks him a question like, hey, like, do you think you did the right thing here? He's like, well, you know, football doesn't work that way. You can't just tell a guy to take a shot into the end zone. Like, if we had forced him to take a shot in the end zone, he would have gotten intercepted. It's like, what? What are you talking about, man? Brandon Ayuk is making $30 million a year. Purdy could be making $60 million a year. Like if the freaking Tampa Bay Buccaneers had first and 10 from the 13 and Mike Evans was one-on-one, fuck the play call, man. We're throwing a fade to Mike Evans right now because he's going to catch it. Like, do you not have that confidence in Brandon Ayuk? And if you don't, what are you paying for? He's one-on-one.
He should have that confidence in Brandon Ayuk. And another guy that, this is going to sound blasphemous, but Chris Conley is more prepared for that type of thing than Deebo Samuel is. Believe it or not, that is the truth. So I want to see what Chris Conley looks like in that role as wide receiver two, and I think that's what we're going to see. We'll see B.A., wide receiver one, Conley wide receiver two. They might mix in Cowan for his speed. And then Juwan Jennings, that's actually a better group of guys that can get open and catch the ball than with Deebo. Deebo's a weapon, a great weapon, but that's what he is.
It's going to be interesting to see how people frame this. It's such an interesting diagnostic for so many people on the Niners. And I think a lot of people are going to say, like, okay, let's see what Brock can do without Christian and Deebo. And that's legit. But I think people also say, we'll see what Brandon Ayuk can do without Christian and Deebo. Like, there's no one in the way anymore, man. Let's see you be Justin Jefferson. Go get 15 targets and carry the team. And then finally, what I would say is, you know, let's see what Kyle can do without Christian and Deebo Samuel. Because again, Jordan Mason, Kyle Juszczyk, Juwan Jennings, George Kittle, that's more talent than most teams have. And look at what the freaking Saints are doing with Alvin Kamara, Chris Olave, and Taysom Hill, and a few other people I've never heard of. They're lighting it up. So Kyle, he's a certified genius. I think he should be okay.
He should be. And again, man, this is weapon one and two for Kyle. Christian McCaffrey, Deebo, that's one and two for Kyle. You're taking that away, and you still have a really good team. I honestly think Chris Conley can run better routes than Deebo and create more separation than Deebo and probably has better hands than Deebo. Deebo is just amazing when he has the ball in his hand. He's almost uncomparable in that regard, but it's getting the ball into his hands. Like, he had 8 catches, 110 yards this past week, and none of those throws were really, I mean, a couple of them. Those deep crossers tend to be open, one on the sideline. But outside of that, he was zero separation. I mean, it's not me saying that. That's the statistics. There's a chart that shows it. Zero separation for Deebo Samuel. So this might actually be a blessing in disguise. And they're playing the freaking Rams, who have a putrid, horrible offense. If you can't beat the Rams without those guys, you're going to have trouble beating anybody without those guys.
Let's talk about that final drive, because this is when Deebo Samuel got injured. Niners are down 9. They get the ball back with 3:30 left, no timeouts. First of all, how you get to that point in the game down and you've burned all your second half timeouts is strange. I feel like that's what timeouts are for, coming back. But you don't have them. Okay, 3:30 left. You need two scores. How do you approach this? They march right down the field against a prevent defense. They get the ball first and 10 to the 27. You're in field goal range right there. You could spike the ball, take three shots at the end zone. Worst case scenario, from Kyle's perspective, you get picked, but you got a really good quarterback who makes good decisions in Brock Purdy. He can throw the ball away. He can put the ball in a place where only his receiver can catch it. Take three shots at the end zone. Worst case scenario, you get incomplete passes that stop the clock. Best case scenario, you get a touchdown. What does Kyle do? He throws the ball over the middle repeatedly and runs the clock down on himself. Eric Sobert, 14 yards. Deebo Samuel, slant for 2 yards, injures his calf. Next play, working very fast to get off another play while the clock is ticking before the 2-minute warning, Colton McKivitz false start. Then another throw over the middle to Brandon Ayuk that keeps the clock running. Then he throws one more thing. He says, Kyle, well, you know, we couldn't just force the ball into the end zone because we might get intercepted, or we will get intercepted. Well, on 3rd and 1 from the 4, he throws a freaking backwards pass, calls a backwards pass, screen, that almost gets intercepted. So, I don't know. I mean, personally, I felt like his play calls weren't great. And also, he ran the clock down on himself with no, with no timeouts. So I my take was I didn't really like the way he managed the clock. What did you think of that final drive? Is it unfair to put that on Kyle?
I think the biggest problem is what led up to having to be a final drive for me. That's what the big problem, right? 2 for 10 on third down, 1 for 4 on fourth down. Now, I do like his aggressiveness on fourth down. We haven't seen that before. That was good, but you got to dial something up that works. And you're talking about Brock Purdy throwing over the middle. A majority of his passes are in the middle. 28 passes on the season up through two games. 28 of his attempts are through the middle. Under 20 yards or under 10 yards through the middle. That's what Brock Purdy does the most of. So it's been and here's the thing. We can't let Brock off in this game. I think Kyle is to blame for sure, because this defensive coordinator has shown that he has Kyle's number along with a handful of others. But Brock Purdy, we got to be honest here, 3 turnover-worthy plays. He did fumble the ball. It was, you know, it looked like an interception. It was actually a fumble. He threw an interception, and then he almost threw another. It was 3 turnover-worthy plays. That's not my opinion. That's PFF.
What was the one that almost threw the pick? Was that on 4th and goal to 2?
I forget the down in distance, okay. But it was another force to Debo. It was another force, okay, to Debo who was not okay. Over, right? And okay. We saw a lot of those. He was sacked 6 times. I watched the video. I think Jesse said he's responsible for 6. I would say 5 he was responsible for. Jesse said 6. But at least 5 of those sacks were his, where he had guys underneath. And so I don't know if he has this mentality where he's got to be a hero now because it's a contract year. I don't know what's going on with Brock. But he had open dump-offs on at least 5 of those 6 sacks that he took. When you're okay. When you're 2 for 10 on third down, you're 1 for 4 on fourth down, you have 3 turnover worthy plays, 2 turnovers, and you take 6 sacks. That's what puts you in a position at the end where you have to play like that.
Sure. But I don't feel like
play calling.
Yeah, like I don't feel like this game was lost because Brock didn't execute. Like he didn't execute well for sure, but I think it's bigger than that. Like why did Sam Darnold play better than Brock Purdy in this game? He did. How does that happen? Because we know Sam Darnold isn't better than Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy didn't have Christian McCaffrey out there, but he still had the better supporting cast.
Here's why I think.
Doesn't he have the better coach?
Here's why I think.
Maybe not.
Brian Flores has Kyle Shanahan's number. You can look at a ton of, right? Let's look at it. Let's look at the guys that have done this to Kyle Shanahan.
17 points this year. 17 points last year with CMC. No difference.
Right. Right. Steve Spagnuolo, Jim Schwartz, Brian Flores, Mike McDonald, they've all done the same thing, which is press man coverage on the receivers, stunts, blitz the hell out of them, and Kyle Shanahan's offense has lost every time they've gone against those guys. He can't – their offense is not prepared for it. Brock's not prepared for it, and it starts with Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator, because every time he plays those guys, it's almost the same result. 17 points against – Jim Schwartz, 17 points against Brian Flores last year, 17 points this past year. I believe the Ravens, I don't know how many they scored against the Ravens, and in the Super Bowl. So these guys have figured out how you stop Kyle Shanahan's offense regardless. And that's with CMC in the game. That's with Debo in the game. And, you know, who knows what they're going to look like without those two guys. But Kyle is definitely figured out in that regard by those guys, zero question. And he's got to adjust. Where's the creativity? You're going to have it this game because you have no CMC, you have no Debo.
I just don't like how whenever Kyle's under pressure, he's in a close game late. He didn't do this early in his career, but the last couple of years, this happened in the Super Bowl too. It's Debo, 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 Debo. Every time. Like in the Super Bowl, it was just a nonstop Debo fest, and it didn't work. And then week one was a nonstop Debo fest, and they won, but he wasn't great. And then this game with the game on the line, it was Debo, Debo, Debo. Like, why is Brandon here? Why did you have to pay him all this money? Why didn't you trade him to Pittsburgh, man? Like, are you really happy with this deal that you gave him? You don't use him. Not I'm like a $30 million a year man.
I'm wondering if he's easing him in, and maybe that has something to do with it. The fact that he missed all of training camp, and Kyle's like, well, let's ease him in. We use Debo in week one and week two, and then slowly integrate Brandon Ayuk more and more. But right now, guess what? Against the Rams, no choice. You have to do it. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, yo, that slow integrate. Sorry, I'm on my hotspot. That slow integration shit is over right now. It's over.
Yeah, it's over. You have no choice.
Yep. Hey, you wanted to ramp him up slowly. Over. Football. Sorry. Now he needs 10 targets in this game against the Rams. I think. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's an overreaction. Because frankly, let me not be so emotional. Take the money out of it. George Kittle and Juwan Jennings are objectively having better seasons than Brandon. So maybe instead of forcing Brandon to the top of the pecking order, increase his usage a bit, but acknowledge that Kittle and Jennings are in better shape, more productive right now, and just increase their usage too.
Or how about not force anything? Just use your best guys and allow Brock to read the field and pass to whoever's open. You know.
Also, I'm excited to see Jacob Cowing out there. I think he could add something to the offense. That I still think the offense is slow. I mean, Jordan Mason, hell of a player, not fast. Their fastest player on offense is Brandon Ayuk. He doesn't look very fast right now.
Over on Jordan Mason rush attempts this coming weekend.
He's already tied for the league lead in rushing attempts. So they got to be careful with that too. It's him and Josh Jacobs at 48 through two games. That's what was the Christian McCaffrey rushing load last year? 24 a game. That's a freak load.
Pause.
Moises Rosales says Jennings more explosive than Debo, in my opinion. Let's go. Let me get some numbers for you. Let me get some advanced stats just so people understand what's going on right now. Quarterback rating when targeted this season. Number one on the Niners. Can you guess?
Juwan.
Kittle. 129.5.
Okay.
He's a touchdown catch. Juwan Jennings. He's the only person on the team with a touchdown catch, so that's why his QB rating when targeted is so high. But his average depth of target, only 6 yards downfield, not very far. Yards after contact per reception, about 5. That's very good. 129.5. Number two, who do you think?
Number two is going to be.
You got it. You got it.
Brandon?
Nope. You had it before.
Juwan.
Juwan's quarterback rating when targeted this year is 113.4. 9 targets, 7 catches, 101 yards, 12.1 average depth of target. Curious, what is his yards per reception? It is 14.4, up from 13.9 last year. So he's having an efficient year. Number three, Debo, 95.1. Mm-hmm. Number four, Eric Sobert, 93.7. Number five,
yeah,
Jordan Mason, 85.4. Number six, Chris Conley, 83.3. Number seven, Brandon Ayuk, 81.7. That ain't cutting it, man.
Yeah.
That ain't
cutting it. You know who had the most separation yesterday? I don't guess. You know who had the most separation in the game statistically? You're never going to guess it.
Hold on. Sobert.
How the hell? Yeah, you guessed. Because
right. You said I was never going to guess. That gave it away.
Yeah.
I was going to say Ayuk. I'm like, no. Sobert. Yeah. Sobert was wide open. Sobert's decent. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Moises. Keith Murphy, the unbeaten, says getting a lot of 2020 vibes with injuries last year. Not cashing in was brutal. Greenlaw goes down to Super Bowl, and now CMC and Debo with low leg. Don't forget Bullocks. Florida Monster says Kyle Shanahan couldn't manage a cold. He refuses to develop young players, which causes them to overpay. SF is screwed. Good luck with rookies with no experience. Damn. Hey.
I feel like they're still going to win.
How do you think Lombardi has spinned this to be a positive? He always has some way. That will be fresh down the stretch, right?
No, you know what? He spun it by saying no one got injured before we found out that Debo got injured. So now there's no positive. He's going to have to re-spin the spin.
Oh,
I don't know how he's going to do that.
let me hold on. I already wrote about that because he tweeted. He said, given how many huge stretch run playoff games the Niners have been in over the past. Oh, you're right.
He's gonna have to double spin it. The old double spin.
Update. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, he's putting the pressure on Brandon. So the Niners will be down both Christian and Debo for at least the next 2 months. They can no longer wait for Brandon to kick it into gear. Clock has run out on that. Thank you, Captain Obvious. At least that was somewhat. He didn't praise Brandon. He's essentially saying that Brandon needs to step it up. Well, Brandon, David's on your ass. You better watch out. Sports talk, SG, what's up? Shardall says, as a Niners fan, I'm the biggest Debo and CMC fan. Knowing Shardall is 100% true. Shardall, it's great to hear from you, man. Hope you're doing okay. Xavier, if he's French, says, Bosa gets paid too much to only get coverage sacks. Didn't beat his guy for either of his two sacks and ran past Darnold on the Jetta's TD.
He is ranked 10th in sacks.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Right now, highest paid defensive end in the league is ranked 10th in sacks currently. But at least he got two.
I'm Poor says, if you using PFF, Trent scored second highest on the team. Well, again, yeah, Kyle PFF, said he was decent.
PFF is a mixed bag of good and bad.
Baby Radiance says this might be Debo last year as a Niner. Yeah, that's the last point I wanted to make. This needs to be Debo's last year as a Niner. Enough.
Yeah,
the injuries aren't going to go away.
I don't think he's going to get better moving forward. I think
the whole Debo Renaissance storyline from this offseason was silly, and it was 97% a product of him changing his number from 19 to 1. I think it just looks slimming. John Muniz says,
he's not getting better anymore, unfortunately.
He's not getting younger.
No.
John Muniz says, can Kyle stop forcing the pass to prove Brock is good? Run leads to pass game. Quit trying to prove Brock's worth. All right, we're going to talk about what's up with the pass game in a minute. But first, I want to do some prize picks. If you haven't heard, I'm giving away a signed, autographed Ricky Pearsall jersey. This guy is more than a football player. He is a cult legend. And if you wore that jersey around town, people would know that you don't take – shit from anybody. You want to get that jersey? Download the Sleeper app. Use promo code CONE, C-O-H-N, to get entered to win in a giveaway where probably there are like two dozen entrants. I would highly recommend entering if you like cool jerseys that are signed by the person who wears them. Anyway, you'd be the person where, you know what I meant? I just want to point out that I won yesterday. I did these picks kind of flippantly in my post-game thing, and I just wanted to be a hater, and I picked against five people, and I almost got it right, which proves that being a hater pays off.
Pays off.
Yeah,
man. Yeah.
Only guy who let me down was Cole Kmet. Who the hell asked him to catch four passes? Wow. Good for you, Cole. Sorry character. I doubted you.
Out of character.
Out of character. All right. We got Atlanta, Philly tonight. Saquon Barkley. 82.5 rushing yards. That's a lot. What about a touchdown, though?
For who? Who are we talking about?
Saquon. He had two Saquon. Week one.
I'm going over the touchdown. That's what I'm doing. Over.
That's what rushing. I'm saying. Over. The touchdown. You like that, right?
Yeah.
That's money. Up at Jalen Hurts. 229, 36.5 rushing yards. How about a rush TD for Jalen Hurts? He had none last week.
Yeah. QB sneak.
QB sneak.
Push.
Tush. Push. Kirk Cousins. Maybe the worst quarterback in the league week one.
Oh, he's going to ball out.
226.5 passing yards. Last week he had 155. No longer has Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. He's throwing to Drake London and Kyle Pitts.
I don't know. I got a weird feeling that Kirk is going to show up and go over. That's my gut, but I don't know how much you trust that. Primetime Kirk. There's a reason they call him Primetime Kirk. No one calls him that.
What about the picks? Oh, it's Primetime Kirk. He sucks in primetime. Can we reconsider this? What about the picks, though? All he has to do is throw one. He threw two last week. He can't move. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad we could negotiate on that one. I didn't mean to pressure you because this is these are your picks, essentially.
When I called him Primetime Kirk, that's when it struck me.
Kyle Pitts, 26 receiving yards last week, 38.5 this week. Can he do it?
No.
It's trash, man. He's just absolutely trash. Ray McLeod, anytime touchdown.
No.
What?
No.
Hell Ray no.
Ray Ray has already done more in Atlanta than he has ever done for the 49ers, though. But no.
He's definitely not scoring a touchdown in this game. No way, no how. No. Drake London. He had 15 yards.
He's actually pretty good, man. I was surprised by that. I don't know. Kirk had a rough showing. I don't know, man.
God.
Somebody's got to do something, right? You would assume.
They didn't last week, but yeah, you would assume.
I don't know.
You want to pick? You feel confident that Drake London is going for 64?
No, but I don't know. No.
Sorry, Drake. Not a fan. Those are my picks. Felt good about Barkley, Hurts, and Cousins. Well, good about Cousins throwing a pick. And then we felt bad about Pitts, McLeod, and London. I think those are the right picks. I'm flexing it. Flexing it. Boom. Those are the picks again. You want to make some picks, use promo code CONE, get a deposit match up to $100. But if you want to get that signed Ricky Pearsall jersey, all you got to do is use promo code CONE, and then you're entered to win. And then you got good odds at that point. Better odds than actually winning some prize picks, I'm just saying. Moving on. What is wrong with the Niners passing game? The running game is fine. As long as the Niners have Bobby Turner, their run game is going to be cool. They'll find a way to run the ball for about 5 yards a clip. But right now, they had the most, last year they had the most efficient passing game in the league. Purdy led the league in passing, passer rating. Now, one touchdown pass in two games, not nearly as efficient. Why do you think that is?
A lot of reasons. Number one, teams are playing man against the 49ers. They don't have man beaters on this team. Two.
Schematically.
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two, they're targeting Deebo Samuel way too much. They're forcing the ball to Deebo Samuel. And I don't know if that is Kyle telling him this is where it needs to go, or it's Brock because that's the only receiver he's played with in the preseason outside of Juwan. I don't know what the reason is, but Deebo's not open. And so they're forcing it to there. Three, the absence of Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is kind of like Steph Curry. When he's on the court, the defense focuses on him. When he's not, they're free to respect their man more. And so I think that's part of it as well. Outside of that, I don't know. Is Brock scared to take the check down now? Does he not want to take the check down anymore? Because there's check downs open and he's not taking them and he's getting sacked. So that all of those things combined, that's also a rusty Brandon Ayuk. No preseason, no training camp for Brandon Ayuk. Those things combined is why, to me, it's struggling right now.
I think it's clear that Brock Purdy is not playing as well as last year. And the question is why. Like, you watch the film that Jesse put out there, it's damning. There are people open and he's hesitating. Like, that's not the Brock Purdy I know. You know who that looks like?
Jimmy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So why does that keep happening to Kyle's quarterbacks over time? Like, when Jimmy first came to the Niners, he was confident. He ad-libbed. He got worse. And he became robotic, and he lost his confidence. Like, that's what Brock looks like to me. He looks robotic. He's looking like he's standing there being like, Kyle told me to do this, or what did he tell me? I'm like, well, what about your instincts? Where are your playmaking instincts? You're not a guy who just stands still. Like, he did a Jimmy impression yesterday. So, yeah, that's on Brock, but also it's on Kyle. Like, why does your coaching have this effect on quarterbacks over time?
I think it's really the defenses that he's facing. Kyle struggles with, his players struggle with beating man. And Brock is also wanting to do a little too much instead of taking the easy play. Like, if you go watch the All-22 yesterday, out of those six sacks, I would say five had an easy check down wide open. And he chose to not go that route. And I don't know if it's because it's his contract year. He feels like, I got to do the most. I got to be improved. I got to be better. Let me put this team on my back and make an amazing play, when sometimes you just need to make the simple, easy play. I mean, Patrick Mahomes got through his entire last season like that. So, Brock, I'm sorry if I called you a dink and dunker. I take it back. I didn't mean it. But now I need you to do a little dink and dunking because it's open. So take what's there.
Fair. But in addition, on a lot of those plays, he takes a sack and there's a guy open in front of him, but also in front of the sticks. So it's like last year, really since Brock started playing, there were guys wide open all over the field. And the issue with Jimmy is, like, he didn't seem to be seeing them, or he was passing up throws because he wasn't confident that he could make them. And if you give a wide open guy downfield to Brock, at least the last couple of years, like, he's gonna find him, he's gonna hit him. And in this game, it felt like, yeah, maybe there were like some checkdowns he missed, but the throws he was hitting were very contested. And it seemed like there wasn't as much separation or wide open guys as there had been in the past. And that's not a Brock issue. That's bigger than Brock. And I know, maybe it's all because Christian's gone, but it's like, still, you have a running back giving you 5 yards of carry. You have all this money invested into other receivers. It seems like there shouldn't be this kind of a drop off.
It feels like to me, when you have Christian McCaffrey on your team, when you have Grant on your team, when you have Christian McCaffrey on your team,
physical presence.
It's presence there. Like, you if you're a young quarterback and you have Christian McCaffrey on your team, you're going to look for him first. And usually the routes that Christian McCaffrey is running are the easy choice dump off routes that bail you out of tight situations. So when you're under this pressure, you automatically, your first look is who? It's Christian, which is an easy dump off. Right now he's not there, and now your go-to is probably who? Deebo Samuel. Right, so now your first look, your first instinct is to go to the guy who can't get separation, and I think that's a huge part of this.
I do feel like while Christian was never the go-to guy in the Niners passing game, opponents treated him that way. Everything was about, I can't let Christian beat us as a receiver. It's like, his 8 yards a catch probably aren't going to beat you. If you overreact to him in the flat, Ayuk is going to kill you, because he's going to catch the ball 15, 20 yards down the field, and he's going to kill you. And I think now that defenses can't over... I think Kansas City figured it out. I think certain teams figured it out. Like, play man And you're going to get burned a few times by Christian McCaffrey in the passing game, but not enough to kill you. He'll have some chunk plays, but he's not going to have any house calls as a receiver. So don't overreact to that. Like, Debo will have a house call as a receiver. Ayuk could have a house call as a receiver. Those are big, big freaking plays. You don't have to overcommit to stopping a check down. And now the defenses aren't. We're seeing that Brandon Ayuk might not be worth $30 million a year.
Brock is living in the intermediate. He's living between, in the middle, between 10 and 19 11, yards.
10 to 20. Right? Yeah, 11. 10, yep, 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 yep.
Yeah, 11 to 20 yards. That's where he's living. And he needs to take advantage of his dump offs. Doesn't need to be intermediate every time. And he's also not going, I think he's 3-for-9 over 20, 0-for-1 over 25. So he's not going deep. He's not dumping off as much as he's used to dumping off with Christian McCaffrey. He's living in the middle of the field mostly and in the intermediate mostly, between 10 and 20 yards. And I just think he needs to rely more on his checkdowns. Take the easy play, because there are a lot of, on five of those six sacks last night, there were guys open in the dump off.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to see him do more of that, as well as extend the field. Throw the ball downfield once. In two games, he hasn't thrown past 25 yards once, and he's only thrown past 20.
If you go back, time. Though, and watch those film, like those clips of the six sacks, if he had taken those checkdowns, do the Niners score more points in this game? Do they extend more drives? Or does, you know, like the sack numbers look better? But yes, those sacks are on him, but the overall offensive efficiency is also on him. But I also think it's like super complex, and that's why I like football. There's so many variables. Yeah. And I got a big one I want to talk about in a second that I've been purposely not mentioning yet. Just a second. How much money for you and Lombardi to do a show? I offered to do one with him. He doesn't want to, so you got to talk to him. You skipped my $9.99 chat. My bad. My bad. Hard time believing Denise isn't happy when they're making bank from higher ticket sales, jersey sales, etc., while the Niners are a top team versus not. Doesn't pass the BS test to me. I guess we'll see. I don't know.
I mean, you got to also consider they own a soccer team that is struggling right now as well. I mean, it's more than the 49ers for these guys. They have a lot of financial responsibilities, and they're struggling on the soccer side of things.
Yeah, that Leeds team isn't good, and they made a big investment. They're the sole owners of that team.
I mean,
and they're going to be lucrative and profitable once they're in the Premier League, but they're not. They're in the league below, the Championship League. And to get into the Premier League, they're going to need to sign new players, which is going to be hard for them to do because they keep spending money to keep players on the 49ers.
Can we, unless you have something planned, I want to talk to you about the worth. Is it worth it?
This is a good transition. We are going to get that. We are absolutely going to get to that. Don't worry. Just a second. Loco Ant says pass game is all slants and in routes. We're going to talk about that in a second. Anthony C. BP is not a high volume thrower. His pass attempts need to be in the 25-ish range and let his legs and running backs do the rest. I agree. I think when he gets in the high volume stuff, then you start to see the interceptions pop up. I agree. Yeah. And if you're making $60 million a year, you have to be able to be a high volume thrower. Like, even Goff has had games where he's won throwing 55 times and he's not great.
Yeah.
How about them preseason INTs, says Matt McEwen. How about them? Guess they were prescient. Noop says 9-8. Sorry. Oh. MGM Productions with a Z says it's time for Juice to step up and be RB2 and take over as main pass down back. He has better hands, blocks, and routes than JP, right? Right. I do think he's a better receiver than JP. That's a fair point. Okay. Mm-hmm. One other thing that's a change with the Niners passing game. The pass game coordinator. You don't really think of that guy mattering because Kyle Shanahan's here and he's a genius. But last year it was Clint Kubiak. He was here for 1 year. And Brock Purdy just so happened to finish fourth in the MVP voting and lead the league in yards per attempt, quarterback rating, and yards per completion. Now Clint Kubiak is in New Orleans. And Derek Carr, through two games, just two, happens to be leading the league in yards per attempt, yards per completion, and quarterback rating. Out of freaking nowhere. It's Derek Carr, 33. And it's the same team he had last year. Now it's good. meanwhile, the Niners, their pass game coordinator is now Clay Kubiak, who's Clint's little brother, and is far less experienced than Clint. And as we mentioned, the Niners pass game has fallen off to a degree. It's not 100% Clay's fault, but I think they might have lost something with Clint. He seems like he's Gary Kubiak's oldest son, just like Kyle is Mike Shanahan's oldest son, only son. And it seems like he might be good, might be a loss for the Niners.
Here's the thing, Grant. I just tweeted it out. Quarterback play across the NFL is down. This is not good quarterback play that we're seeing. When Derek Carr is leading the NFL in passing, it's a problem.
Now, to be fair, his quarterback rating is like 140 right now. He won't keep that up, but yeah.
No, he won't. But think about this. So I just saw this today. Last 5 years back, the amount of touchdown passes through 2 weeks was like 110. You know, 4 years ago, it was like 109, somewhere in that range. 3 years ago, it was like 100. Last year, it was 85. This year, 65 touchdown passes through week two. That's almost half. That's like 60% of what it was 5 years ago. So I think defenses are figuring out how to stop the passing because this league was going in the passing game direction. And defenses have figured out how to just keep everything underneath, turn everybody into dink and dunk, and take away the passing game. And you're seeing that throughout the NFL. You're also seeing a deterioration of quarterback play throughout the NFL. When Sam Darnold is hooping and Derek Carr is doing his thing, I don't know. To me, it's a big fall off from Peyton Manning and Tom Brady in those days. Drew Brees, like, those guys are gone. And even Patrick Mahomes doesn't look really that good right now. So I don't know if it's the defenses are just figuring out how to stop the pass more because it's been – I mean, that's what happens, right, in sports. Everything goes a certain direction, and then the defenses react, and then it goes back the other direction. Right? It seems like the running game is coming back. For a while, the passing game, everything was pass, 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 pass. Then teams started adjusting. They started getting these faster linebackers and playing two high safeties. Now everyone's going back to the run. So I think this is what we're seeing right now. It's a transition throughout the league.
Sure. I think what we're also seeing is that we're learning who Kyle Shanahan is, in my opinion. Like, Kyle Shanahan is good at certain things. Like, the dominant scheme in the NFL right now is his dad's. Like 25 offensive coordinators are indirectly linked to his dad and run a version of that offense. So you see it every week. And yep. Kyle knows it the best because he's Mike's dad and is 45 years old and has been memorizing this since he was probably two. So he had a leg up on the rest of the league in running the system that's preferred. But now, like, so many people run it. And I think we see, like, while he's memorized certain aspects of it, is he creative in the ability to evolve it? Like,
what have you seen new? What have you seen
McDaniel
new?
McDaniel can do it. McDaniel is creative and he can sequence a script. Clint Kubiak seems to be putting his own spin on it in New Orleans. But Kyle seems like he relies on the creativity of his coordinators. And then I would imagine Clint used to come up to him and be like, all right, these are the plays I like versus this defense this week. And Kyle would be like, all right, well, what about this against this pressure? And what about this against this coverage? And if Kyle vets it and says, okay, then he'll put it in his flip card or a script and he'll find a place for it. But he's not necessarily drawing it up. And that's why I feel like this Clint Kubiak, Clay Kubiak thing is important. If Clay Kubiak is drawing up the plays on a week-to-week basis and game planning this stuff, then Kyle's at the mercy of Clay to a large degree.
I mean, that is possible. I just here's the thing. What have we seen new? What new? It's only 2 weeks. Maybe he's saving it. I don't know. But what have we seen?
Debo throwing deep to Brock Purdy
and taking a sack, right? By the way, the 49ers have the most sacks in the NFL. They're tied, if you include Debo's. Brock is taking the second most sacks in the NFL behind Caleb Williams and freaking dude on the Raiders. So I see no creativity from Kyle so far this year. It just seems like the same old stuff. And I think, like you said, a lot of teams are doing it. That means a lot of teams are seeing it. And it's not some new, creative, exciting thing anymore. It's the same thing. It's repetitive.
Yeah, a lot of people are taking his scheme and, like, almost pushing it further with less talent. Like, again, Clint Kubiak in New Orleans, it's just been two games, but if Kyle Shanahan were their offensive coordinator, would they be doing better? if Kyle Shanahan were the head coach of the Rams, would their offense be better? You can go through that. Like, if Kyle Shanahan were the offensive coordinator for the Texans instead of Bobby Slowick, would CJ Stroud be better? I don't know. It seems like his underlings tend to leave and do just as well as he might do with that scheme.
Yeah. And by the way, DeMeco Ryan's looking like the best defensive coordinator the 49ers ever had, if based on how his defense is playing compared to other people. But yeah, I can't talk on the Clay Kubiak because I'm not sure what he's involved in, but it makes sense what you're saying. Yeah. And
let's talk about defensive coordinators for a second, and then we'll talk about who earns their deal and get out of here. So last year, Steve Wilks replaces DeMeco Ryans, who you said is their best D coordinator a long time. Steve Wilks did an admirable job. I mean, his defense ranked third in points allowed, but 28th in third down defense. And there was that one play in Minnesota that everyone remembers before the half. He called a zero blitz. He trusted Treverius Ward one-on-one against Jordan Addison. Ball hits Treverius Ward in the chest. Addison catches it, touchdown. And it seemed like Kyle never forgave Steve Wilks. Mentioned it on the broadcast, didn't like the play call. Then he started moving Steve Wilks around and fired him. Cut to this year. New defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen, he's here to right Steve Wilks' wrongs. Comes back to Minnesota. Has him on the 3-yard line, backed up. Puts George Odom on Justin Jefferson. Gives up a 97-yard touchdown. Is he on the hot seat? I mean, isn't that how Kyle Shanahan treats his – isn't that fair? Fair's fair, right?
No, instead they benched Odom, and I'm all for bringing Malik Mustafa in because I like the kid. I'm excited about him, and I'd rather go with him. But benching Odom because he couldn't stay with Jefferson,
say it.
Doesn't make any sense. Like it's like I put it on Twitter. It's like benching Pod for not being able to defend Joker in the post. Mm-hmm. Like you can't expect that from Odom, right? It should never happen. Treverius Ward, who's talked about it after the game, should be following around wide receiver one no matter where he goes. So they have to be able to learn to adjust. And I'm hoping that this is, you know, Treverius Ward spoke out about it, which is great. And hopefully he's speaking to Nick Sorensen about it. They need to let him follow the best man, especially when it's Justin Jefferson. Odom is not going to be able to hang with this guy. It was a dumb play call. It's like when Steve Wilks called the no blitz against what was it, Washington before half, or who was it before halftime? Was it Cleveland? Gave up that touchdown before halftime, right? It's the same kind of like boneheaded defensive play call that makes no sense. And remember, Kyle said it was on me. I could have blew my whistle and called, I could have called timeout and changed the defense. Well, you should have done it there when you saw Justin Jefferson lined up with Odom. That was never going to work.
I think it's interesting that the Niners did a good job against the run against the Jets week one, and then did an awful job against the Vikings run game. I mean, Ty Chandler was running all over him. Sam Darnold was running all over him. And through two games, the Niners defense has given up 5 yards a carry. Last year, they gave up 4.3. Last year, they gave up 42.5% third down conversions. This year, it's 59. So it's early, but the areas where Steve Wilks was insufficient, run defense, third down defense, they're worse. And that's with Fred Warner playing like the best of his life. So just two games. But man, the heat was on Steve Wilks immediately. What about Nick? Why does he get a longer leash? Like this team has even more urgency to win the Super Bowl this year.
I mean, I think when we started hearing about Steve Wilks was what, the bye week. That's when I heard from my guy that they're going to have a serious talk with Wilks during the bye week. So it's only been 2 weeks. We'll see what happens. And here's the thing. They're going to go play the Rams, who I thought were going to be good this year, but injury has beat the hell out of them. So they're going to be awful. And the 49ers are going to win, and everyone's going to forget about this last game. But the problem's not going to be solved until you play another team that's good, which is going to be a while from now.
Don't forget that the Niners started 5-0 last year, and the issues with Steve Wilks started like only after they started losing. I mean, they lost 3 games in a row going into the bye week, and he was on the hot seat. So that's all it took was a couple losses. They just lost one. If they lose next week to the freaking Rams, who have no wide receivers, Nick's going to be in trouble. And it's like, oh, that won't happen, right? Well, he just gave up a game-losing field goal drive to Sam Darnold with no Jordan Addison or Justin Jefferson on the field. So anything can happen.
Also gave up that 97-yarder. That was on him. You can't expect Odom to cover Justin Jefferson. That was a dumb play call. So look for Brandon Staley to step in at the bye week if this continues in this direction. But I, you know, hopefully this is a non-issue. But that's the thing. That's what I'm saying is like they're gonna play the Rams with no Puka Nacua, no Cooper Kupp, and they're gonna think, okay, we got it fixed. But it's not fixed. You're playing the Rams, right? With no offensive line, three injured offensive linemen. They're gonna beat the Rams, and they're gonna think the problem's fixed. Then they're gonna play some tough teams. Then they're gonna play the Chiefs at some point. And then that's going to reset their mind. Like, right.
I mean, the Cardinals are interesting. They can run the ball and their quarterback can get out of the pocket.
Yeah. The Cardinals, man. Kyler Murray balled out this last week. Yeah.
Yeah, he sure did.
I mean, the Patriots and the Rams suck. So these next two games will be.
Yeah.
They should be able to bounce back.
Absolutely. Ariel Alberto says he threw 25 plus Kittle 30 plus juice versus Jets. Okay. Keith Murphy, the unbeaten, says what defenses are figuring out is half the league is running a version of the Shanahan offense. That's true. And so you have a team like the Vikings, man, they face this every day in practice. Like they have a plan for what to do.
Yeah. Sam Darnold spoke about, I knew what they were going to do. He said, I knew what they were going to do. They did it to me all last year.
Oh my goodness. Blazin Hahn says Purdy is first in yards in the NFL while his pass catchers are dead last in separation. The Purdy hate is wild. This is a Kyle issue against man, in my opinion. Interesting.
Look, eight of eight for like 60-something yards at the end when they were in a prevent defense. So you got to take that part out of it. And yes, he's going to have a lot of yards because they're playing from behind. That's why he's passing so much. They're playing behind. That's not the goal. Now, I'm not saying Purdy's trash. That's not what I'm saying. I don't hate Brock Purdy, but I'm also going to speak to reality. And the reality is he had three turnover-worthy plays, and five out of his six sacks were his fault.
Tony G says, can Bell step in for Debo? Also, I think Trent's play is part of the reason why BP and B are struggling. Purdy doesn't have the time for BA to get open. I would like to see Jacob Cowan get on the field. That's what I would like. I think he gives the Niners some speed and explosion they don't currently have. Dobbs for Mostert. Mostert's hurt, isn't he? No Hockenson either, says Keith Murphy, the unbeaten. That's true. Mm-hmm. Tony Nagatani says, Debo being hurt stinks, but I think it's good for Kyle so we can learn how to call plays for other players besides Debo and CMC. Here. Xavier says, speaking of Sorensen, why did we have two safeties covering Jefferson on that long TV? Mooney Ward should have been on him all game with safety help.
True.
That was our point. I'm with you on that one, man. Look, we're running out of time here. It's 7 o'clock in Minnesota, and I got to catch a flight, unfortunately. But this was, I think, the best show
of all time
in the history of shows. Really feel bad for Debo. Sorry about your calf. Hope it's just a calf. And next time you see me, I'll be in California.
Fly safe. Oh, sorry.
All right. Take care. Someone asked me where the bathrooms are. I don't work here.
I'm live.
Yeah. I'm live. Sorry.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.